The governor of South Carolina is facing 37 ethics charges that makes him a candidate for bad boy here on America Tonight. You know, I hate to kick a man when he's down, but this was inevitable that they were going to go after him. We've got the skinny on that. Not only that, but how about these new charges in the Somalia terror case closer to home, of course, with the ties to Minneapolis, where our Plush Network is located, right there in the belly of the beast. Prosecutors charge eight in the case, saying that they went to training camps and provided financial help along the way. And we have some more sorted things on that, too. But we start with this. And hello, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, of course. That's where you are. Get locked and loaded for a big hour, including a conversation in another 15 minutes with a pilot who flew a plane drunk, paid the price, did the time, and now he's writing a book about those experiences. With everything that we've seen from the airlines, this will be interesting to chat with Mr. Balzer. That's coming up in a few. But first, I knew it was inevitable this would happen. Major Hassan, what is his lawyer telling him to do? Sure, plead insanity. So the psychiatrist, I know, tell me, people, the psychiatrist who gunned down, let's face it, 13 people during that attack at Fort Hood is most likely going to do that. He's going to most likely plead not guilty to the charges against him, and he might use the insanity defense at his military trial. The attorney for Major Hassan, John Galligan, said he's considering that heavily, among other options, but it's too early to determine what the defense strategy will be. But based on the evidence, they're talking about his mental status, and there is a real possibility of this. Let's put it this way. Galligan told him to do this. He's his attorney. This is the strategy I would think that he would pursue, right? If Hassan jumps on it, that's exactly what they're going to do. You know, it's just so heartbreaking. It's been, what, weeks now. That happened November 5th, and here we are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, and you think of all the people who can't celebrate. In fact, today, another one of the 13 was buried at the Arlington National Cemetery, leaving behind two daughters, a female colonel, leaving behind two daughters and a slew of grandchildren. And I can't say enough about the poor people, the families who were touched by this horrible thing. So 13 counts of premeditated murder and might go the insanity route. Think of the people who were wounded in that shooting spree, who had lots of bullets pumped into them, and luckily, got out with their lives, right? And all they were doing, they're going to a building to get everything ready. You know what they do in that building, that deployment center? You know what you do when you go to the deployment center? You finalize your will, because you might get killed when you're serving our country in Afghanistan or Iraq. Ooh, or maybe at Fort Hood, because who was thinking that would happen? They go through the medical process, and they finalize the wills. Ooh. So right now, by the way, the major is still in intensive care. I checked today in San Antonio at the military hospital. That's where they took him when he was shot during the attack. As many of you know, he's paralyzed from the waist down. He had a hearing in his hospital room over the weekend, and he was ordered to, of course, this is the normal thing that would happen, stay in custody until the trial. And his attorney is saying he's frustrated because the prosecutors are taking too long to respond to his questions and to his requests. So boo-hoo. I hope that this investigation changes the way some things happen on bases across the United States. Fort Hood's such a big installation, and I can't say it enough, and I feel like a parrot repeating myself, but your heart just really goes out to those families. You know, what do they have this Thanksgiving? They have somebody that they just buried, and I'm sure just their hearts are just overwhelmed with what they went through. All right, in the meantime, we're going to zig and zag in a few different directions. We will dip back into that, of course. Healthcare, and more healthcare. That is the raging debate. We'll get some more opinions on that, but there's no question the split is very big for Democrats over health reform. Some people are confused. Even though there was 60 votes to go ahead and debate, don't confuse that with a yes, yes, and here we go. because it's far from over. There's a big problem, and the problem is public option. There are at least a couple of those 60 votes where they say they will not, a couple senators that say they will not vote yes if there is a public option. And then there's three or four who say you don't have a public option, we're not going to vote for it either. So if I add this up right, my arithmetic, you got no Republicans. That means every single Democrat has to jump in line, and I don't think it's going to happen. You know, you'll have these weeks of debate after coming back from Thanksgiving. But the way it's going, this weekend deal was the last hurrah, I think, in the Senate, because you're not going to get that majority of 60. There are just too many centrist Democrats who are not happy with the bill in its current condition. And like I mentioned, the public option is one of them. So will they acquiesce and vote yes? I'm going to say no. I mean, even Senator Mary Landrieu was offered at least, they say, $100 million in extra federal bucks for her state, something she wanted. You know, it's been dubbed the Louisiana Purchase. And see, these are the things when you look at the face of health care reform and you dig into the 2,000 pages, these are the things that you start to uncover, right? But I think there's still, you know, there's the senator from Arkansas, Blanche Lincoln. I seriously doubt that she's going to say yes for it. There's Ben Nelson, who I don't think is going to go for it either based on some of the things that are currently in the bill. And if you were to try to please all these centrist Democrats, the current form of the bill would collapse, and I don't see it happening. So if you're sitting there panicking over some of the headlines you're reading about how fabulous Saturday was, keep in mind that was one hurdle just to debate, and you had a few that were necessary in that voting process who made it clear that they would not vote if it stayed in the form that it is now, and I'm pretty sure it's going to stay in the current form. So we'll dive a little bit deeper into that one as well. And how about this? You know, this is the big thing for me here on America Tonight. The president has now had 9 meetings, count them, squished in meetings, on this Afghan war strategy, reviewing it another time, trying to figure out what the sell is going to be. Supposedly, what I heard today is there is a great chance, all of a sudden, this was from a Pentagon source, that there could be a decision released on Wednesday, that Obama's pretty close to announcing what he's decided to do. Remember, just to refresh you, General McChrystal, the eyes and the ears, the guy on the ground that everybody's trusted with what's going on in Afghanistan, he has said 40,000 is the number at least that he needs. But Obama, from what I hear, is trying to settle on something less than that. And the original figure I heard was 20,000. Now I heard today it might be up to just a little bit over 30,000. So they're rethinking the options. They're talking about an exit strategy. That might be rolled into this announcement. And there's a good chance you're going to hear that announcement on Wednesday or Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. Coming up next, flying drunk with passengers in tow. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
With AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUAAqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Friendly skies this Thanksgiving, and a lot of us are doing that. Now we're a little concerned about the pilots. A lot of things have happened, like what happened with the Northwest plane that missed Minneapolis because the pilots were supposedly looking at their schedule, etc. Our next guest here on America Tonight is somebody who loved to fly since the time he was a young lad, just 7 years old, and he got that chance, became a flight engineer, and was in the skies flying drunk. He and the first officer on the flight shared six pitchers of beer. Remember this story? And then there they were flying a Boeing 727. He's got a book out called Flying Drunk that takes you through the steps and what happened, etc., and then a little bit about, obviously, the airlines and what drove them to that position. Joe is being ushered in from our green room as we speak. So without further ado, Joe Balzer joins us now on the show. Joe, thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Explain what happened. Let's rewind the clock a little bit. This happened in what? It happened in 1990, right?
Yeah, it happened in March of 1990, basically.
And you and the first officer were together. So take us through the steps of what you guys were thinking and drinking the beer and all that stuff.
Well, actually, the entire crew, as far as pilots, were out that evening drinking, and we basically had too much to drink. It was more of a there were issues going on for 5 days in the airplane, and we wanted to invite the captain out to have some dinner, and basically that whole plan backfired because remember when the captain came up to the table, he said he wanted to run a tab a mile long. That should have been a big red flag there. I had issues as well. Grew up with an alcoholic father. I got loaded the first time I was 3 years old with my great-grandfather, and I thought everybody drank the way people in my family drank. I didn't start really drinking as far as a drinking career went until I was in college, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. Difference is I set out to drink like everybody else, and I started having blackouts within a few weeks of my first drink. Mm-hmm. Prior to the Northwest incident, I tried to quit drinking on my own because I had a blackout out in California for the listeners that don't really know what a blackout is, it doesn't mean you're passed out. It means you're functioning, but you can't remember the next day what happened. This is basically alcohol-induced amnesia. It's very indicative of stage one alcoholism, and this is what happens when sometimes I could drink a few drinks and be just fine, and there would be other times when I wouldn't know how much I had to drink. Now, under pressure and 5 days of a lot of aggravation and failed attempts of seeking approval from an individual who wasn't capable of giving me that approval, basically the same setup I had in my family with my drinking parent, I was destined to fail. And I set out a year before the incident to try to quit drinking on my own, but I didn't have a 12-step program. I didn't have the wisdom of other people in a 12-step program who've been down the path of recovery and who had learned how to let other people in their lives. And I failed miserably on my own. So there I was that night before a flight. I had too much to drink. There were things that happened in the bar, which I do explain in the book. The first officer and I went back to the hotel. The captain, who was already being quite obnoxious, I explain all that in the book, but basically stayed much, much later into the early morning, got up from the table, fell down, knocked over 5 chairs, cut his head open, left the bar, couldn't find the hotel, came back in the bar and announced to the people he'd been drinking with that he had to fly in a few hours for the semi-close. They were concerned because they'd observed all of us having too much to drink, and they called the FA hotline.
Yeah, and when they called the hotline, you know, there you were flying this Boeing 727. You had 91 passengers. I don't have to relive it with you. You certainly know, but for everybody listening to us, they don't remember this story. And it was one of those hops. You were going from Fargo, North Dakota to Minneapolis. You arrived and there wasn't any kind of an incident. Were you surprised when the FAA was there when you guys arrived? Were you surprised that had happened? Because did you think, whew, that was a close call, but we made it, we're safe, not expecting to face those charges, et cetera?
No, actually, the FAA was there. This is a very interesting part of the story. The FAA was actually there before the flight left Fargo. They had a safety inspector out at the airport. This was a professional pilot law enforcement type with the FAA. I say law enforcement, you know, it's more like regulations with the Federal Aviation Administration, but he was in a position to stop the flight. He had a meeting with the captain. He had a meeting with the first officer, and he had a meeting with me. He said in federal court that he told the captain that he wanted to have a meeting with the crew before we left. The captain did not share that information with me or the first officer. When he came to me and said he had a report about one of the pilots being out into the early morning hours, I explained to him that I felt that was a very good reason to be blood alcohol tested, and I wanted that to happen. I told him, blood, breath, or urine, sir, whatever's convenient for you. Fortunately for me, a third party had witnessed that conversation. And also, the federal inspector went back to his office and made written statements that there were no signs of inebriation or intoxication. Therefore, there was no reason to prevent the flight from leaving. So with that, you know, in mind, he handed me my licenses back, and I got back on the airplane. I really didn't want to get on the flight, but I figured if I'd been cleared by a federal safety inspector, I knew what the captain was going to say, and he said, finish your pre-flight, let's, you know, basically we're getting out of here, and that's what happened. Not a good situation to be in. With the clarity that I have today as someone who's been sober for 19-plus years, I had no business getting on that airplane that morning. So there it is in a nutshell.
Wow, 19 years sober. Congratulations on that. You know, it's interesting, that, and you know this, Joe, at the time when you were flying, they did have a treatment program. They did have something that they had done in the 70s to help pilots. If there were pilots or others in the cockpit who had problems with drinking, that you could have come forward, you could have gotten treatment, you can keep your job is basically what the Airline Pilots Association had done. and you can go to rehab, which might be whatever, 6 months, a year, and then you could be cleared for flying. Were you aware of that program at all when you were struggling with this?
Actually, what I was aware of was I met a captain at Eastern Airlines, and I talk about this in the book. I call him Captain Al, and I noticed his tie tack had the circle and the triangle in it, and I asked him what that was, and he explained it to me about the program of recovery. We went out and had dinner, and what transpired from that was that we did an intervention on my father. My father's been sober ever since. And my sister also ended up going to recovery, but I could see it in others, but I couldn't see it in myself. And the reason being is I thought you had to drink every day to be an alcoholic. That's a myth. I thought you had to drink hard liquor to be an alcoholic. That's a myth. I thought you had to be getting into all kinds of trouble at work and having DWIs to be an alcoholic, and that's a myth. So I didn't fit any of those what we call alcoholic molds. And just the fact that it's such a shameful thing, unfortunately, to be an alcoholic, I wasn't about to be one of those people. And there was so much shame attached to it that I resisted that wanting to get help. And I didn't think that I was an alcoholic. So after the incident and after the, failing, because I did have that blackout out there in California, really didn't want to drink anymore. Here I was drinking again, getting into all kinds of trouble, losing my career, facing prison, which ultimately I ended up going to prison. The good news was before I went to prison, I got into group therapy with a man who was an addictions counselor for the state of Tennessee. I got into all adult children of alcoholics meetings for people who had a parent who was an alcoholic. And I learned that, many of my behaviors were similar to that of a 14-year-old. And that my growth was stalled at some point in my childhood. And also, I learned to do things all on my own. There's some good things about that survival skills, but there's a lot of really negatives that come with that. In other words, if someone's trying to help me, I'm going to give them a stiff arm because I'm so used to doing it on my own, which is the way children who have alcoholic parents, tend to grow up.
Right, exactly. Well, I think the book is great how you chronicle a lot more. You chronicle about your love for flight and what happened and moving up the ranks, and it's just a terrific read. And congratulations to you for being sober for all those years and weathering the storm. Flying Drunk, Joe Balzer. Joe, good luck, and thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996. RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grapeseed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Familiar theme from Seinfeld. Anybody out there a big Seinfeld fan? Back in the 90s, man, it was all about Jerry and the gang, right? Ultimately, did you like the ending of Seinfeld if you were a fan? Maybe you aren't a fan, so it doesn't matter. But I thought we would lighten the load a little bit. Coming up, we have news you can abuse, birthdays in this day in history, and in between, some more odds and ends, fill you in on some of the things that have happened across the country and the world. We're going to go global. Before we do that, on a show called Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is about Larry David, who's the creator of Seinfeld, they had kind of a mock ending, another mock ending to Seinfeld, as they did a reunion show. And it was, I thought it was pretty cleverly done. And I wanted you to hear just a few minutes of it in case there's some Seinfeld fans out there. There used to be just tons of you everywhere. Thought it'd be fun to let you hear a little bit of it. So roll it, Maestro.
Man says, I didn't do anything. Woman says, exactly. It's an unwritten rule of etiquette, George.
Who says so?
No one knows. That's why it's unwritten. You do not blow your nose into a cloth napkin in a restaurant.
Why? They wash it.
It's just not done in polite society. It's not done in impolite society. Even the impolite don't do it.
The other day you sneezed into a napkin.
That's different.
How?
A sneeze is involuntary. You have 2.5 seconds before that bomb goes off.
Well, I live by my rules. I don't live by your rules.
Did you do this in front of your wife?
All the time.
Can't figure out why she left you.
Yeah.
It's Wayne.
What up? Oh, hey, George. Did you see this? It's an article about Bernie Madoff.
Kramer.
No, look at this. They got the floor plan to all his offices. Here's where he was.
Kramer, he doesn't
you
want
to... You couldn't get to him.
It was a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, do I need to hear this? I know what happened.
So what's the big deal? You lost a couple of million.
It was more than a couple.
Well, it was more than a great idea. An iPhone application that leads you via your GPS to the nearest acceptable toilet wherever you are in the world.
The eye toilet. And I thought of it.
That was one killer app. Why'd you have to give it all to that crook Madoff?
I don't know.
How could you be so fiscally irresponsible?
All of it, Jerry. All of it.
Madoff?
Madoff!
Well, I'll never meet anyone else again.
Probably not.
Meeting is hard.
Meeting is hard. Why can't you meet?
Can't meet. Why is that?
This is what single people are thinking about the minute they wake up in the morning. And yet we're surrounded by people. They're right next to us, on the bus, on the street. But we can't meet them.
Why won't they meet us?
Because strangers have a bad reputation.
A few bad strangers have ruined it for the rest of us.
It's unfortunate.
Oh, Amanda. She was so easy to talk to.
Mm.
Her like will never come this way again.
Oh, there she comes now.
Oh.
George.
Hey.
How are you? Well, you look good.
I am good.
I'm good, too.
Jerry's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Why don't you take a seat? Just have some coffee.
Okay.
So, what brings you here?
I'm meeting someone.
Dating?
Just sex.
She's easy to talk to.
All right, so you get the gist there. Again, this was like the fake Seinfeld, the end. It was interesting because there were things that they didn't address in the season, and there were even things in real life that they talked about, like Michael Richards' racist tirade, at the Laugh Factory in 2006 that really tanked him, and they had a play on that in this episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Also, and you heard some of this, George created an iPhone app, the iToilet. Elaine gave birth to Jerry's child, and, of course, Jerry Seinfeld sort of analyzed the whole thing, which he did on Seinfeld for those so many years. So it's been about a decade, and it was kind of interesting that they threw that into Curb Your Enthusiasm. All right, so as I mentioned, coming up on the show, we'll do those birthdays and some of the other things, but let's hit on talk about a left turn. Let's hit on some of the headlines on the day in case you missed it. The feds have announced charges against 8 more people. This is part of that huge investigation that they've had ongoing of the guys who left the U.S. to fight in Somalia. They say as many as 20 Somali guys left Minnesota over the last couple of years for Somalia, and they were believed to have joined a terror group there. 3 have died. The charges unsealed Monday in Minneapolis include allegations that the men provided financial support to those who traveled to the country to fight on behalf of that terror group. The charges also allege that they attended terrorist training camps and fought and whatnot on behalf of them as well. 1 of the 8 named in the courtroom on Monday is Mohammed. This guy who was kind of a little mini ringleader, and he's being held in the Netherlands. It's been a long-running, if you remember, FBI investigation of the terror group and the recruiting and the ties to the U.S., and it's gone from Minnesota to California, Ohio, Massachusetts. The FBI director, Robert Mueller, has been all over this case, and he says it's very, very worrisome because it shows that young guys in the U.S. can be recruited by terrorists overseas, trained to conduct some kind of attacks, and in some cases they were even killed in the fighting, and I agree with him. Omar Abdelli Mohammed was the one that they were concerned about, and he was also accused of giving material support to the terrorists. So we talk about homegrown, radicalized in some of the prisons, and now this situation that's not just Minneapolis, currently where they nailed those 8 of them, but it's not just Minneapolis, it's Ohio, as you heard me mention, Massachusetts, and some other places too as well. And it is very disheartening to think of what could happen in the future as these tracks keep going in the opposite direction. You know, these are people, again, from the United States, raised in the United States, and look how quickly they turn. All right, we've been keeping tabs on Sarah Palin. You know, it's like where Matt Lauer used to do that thing, where in the world is Matt Lauer? Where in the world is Sarah Palin? Her latest stop in North Carolina, Fort Bragg, hundreds of people lined up at a book signing on that Army base there. She's up to almost a million books now. At this point, the publisher thinks they're probably going to hit 2 million or so. So lots, it's not a surprise. A lot of people came out to see her. That's what it's been so far along the way. And she's got a bus that's always outside of her appearances. And there people are making donations, in some cases, to her political action committee. And a lot of the people on hand are saying they hope that she runs for president. And this is, again, a tour that's called Going Rogue. She was going to go to Fort Hood, Texas on December 4th, but I think she's still going to do it. But she had planned on that before everything that had happened there, and she's kind of following the tracks of some of the places that she specifically stopped in 2008 when she was out there on the campaign trail, sometimes with McCain and sometimes doing a solo act. All right, the South Carolina governor, we mentioned it earlier here on America Tonight. Remember him? Of course you do. Governor Mark Sanford, who had the girlfriend in Argentina, which turned into a huge scandal, is now officially accused of breaking ethics laws by using money from the state for very pricey airline seats, taking state planes for personal and political trips, and occasionally tapping his campaign chest to reimburse himself for that travel. This has been a 3-month investigation by the state's ethics commission there, and it could be the thing that pushes him out of office. The attorney general, still on the fence, hasn't said whether or not the governor is going to face any criminal charges. There have been a lot of people in the state, Democrats and, of course, and Republicans, though, too, as well, who have pushed for him to resign, and he says that he's not going to do that. He insists he didn't do anything wrong and has done nothing but served as the best he could as governor of the state, but it's looking pretty bleak for him, especially if there's word that there could be criminal charges, then forget about it. All right. In the meantime, a couple of other things to mention quickly here across the U.S. The largest crib recall in U.S. history was announced. I know some people listening have young children and some have grandchildren. And this is the crib that you find in, it's a common name. You find it in Target and Walmart and Kmart, et cetera. It's called the They're the drop-side cribs done by a company named Storkcraft Manufacturing. 2.1 million in all is what they're asking back. So about 150,000 of the cribs on recall carry sort of that common name, the Fisher-Price logo that you see. And sadly, some of the kids have suffocated. Some have gotten caught in the gate with the drop side. And I'm glad they're recalling it because you started to hear about different kids that died in New York, a 7-month-old, another one in West Virginia, and another 9-month-old in the Bronx, all because of this crib. So thank goodness, actually, they are doing the recall. I'm glad they had enough information to have that happen. Coming up, birthdays, this day in history, and news you can abuse. Coming up, what happened on this day in history back on November 24th of whatever year. There are 37 days left in the year. Some of the things that we'll talk about, and I'll just mention a couple of them at the get-go. In 1784, Zachary Taylor, who was the 12th president of the U.S., was born in Orange County, Virginia. Did you know that? In 1863, the Civil War Battle of Lookout Mountain started in Tennessee. Union forces succeeded in taking the mountain from the Confederates. And how about this? In 1939, British Overseas Airways Corporation was formally established. We have a few other fun facts for you, and some big ones, actually. We'll rewind the clock in just a few. Also, we have birthdays and the Big O. Anyone know who the Big O is? If you're a basketball fan, you'll know this name, Oscar Robertson. He's the king of the rebound before Dennis Rodman, 71 years old. Billy Conley celebrating a birthday. Paul Tagliabue, who is a longtime NFL commissioner forever, it seems, the NFL, so he's a former guy. Actor Dwight Schultz, actor Stanley Livingston, also a name that you might recognize, former White House News Secretary Marlon Fitzwater with a birthday. But we'll get to that after some upside-down, all-around crazy news you can abuse. Let's start in Baltimore. The number two pencil might be thrown out. Yeah, it might go the way of the cassette tape player, the nine tracks, all that stuff, you know, when things become obsolete. 11 schools in suburban Baltimore, get this, are starting a pilot program to test kids with handheld electronic devices. Now, they look a little like a TV remote control with a small screen. They'll replace the pencil and paper tests. The head of the Baltimore County Schools says the iRespond, that's what they call it, iRespond technology, will save time and allow the teachers to focus on their teaching. If the technology is adopted system-wide, schools say, or the head of the schools, say that it will eventually save money on paper tests and scan sheets. Well, and of course it saves time, too. This would be kind of interesting to partake in this in New York. You'll need to be 21, but in New York City, there's a tavern owner named Paul Hurley who says he's unveiling the nation's first 100-proof turkey. 100-proof. It's O'Casey's in Midtown Manhattan. They say the bird is infused with fruit-flavored and 100-proof vodka. The gravy is also laced with liquor. The tavern is offering a free taxi ride home to anyone who orders the boozy bird. I don't know. I just want to know what that would taste like. You know when they have these accidents and they spill stuff all over the highway? Well, on I-94 in southwest Michigan, a driver had to play catch-up after a truckload of frozen French fries spilled all over the place. The trailer on the big rig broke loose. The driver tried to avoid a minivan, stopped on the shoulder. The westbound lanes were closed while crews had to clean up the wreckage and the fries. Oh, that's awful. Look at those fries all over there. How about this from Pennsylvania? A Western Pennsylvania woman is going to trial on charges she passed dope to a prison inmate while kissing him. Can't make this stuff up. Guards at a state prison were a little suspicious when Otis McKenzie appeared to swallow something after a prolonged smooch. They say McKenzie wouldn't tell guards what he swallowed, so they monitored his bathroom visits, found a balloon filled with marijuana 3 days later. Michelle Jordan now faces conspiracy to smuggle contraband and other charges. Both have been ordered to stand trial. Oh, isn't that awful? Is it really worth it to put that shiv in the cake, or to bring in the marijuana, or to bring in the cigarettes and salami and things that you have up your sleeves that you can bribe your husband or boyfriend or bribe the guards with? You know, it's like you see in the movies, like I just watched Goodfellas again, and that's what happens with them. Of course, they had free reign at the prison, which was true. In a lot of cases, the mafiosos or somebody who paid enough people off kind of had free reign. I don't think you have that anymore today. In Alabama, how can you go from $42 million to just $2? Well, that's what happened to one woman thanks to the Alabama Supreme Court. The court ruled that a machine that she won on, an electronic bingo machine, hit the jackpot, actually malfunctioned when it showed Sherry Knowles had won $41.8 million in May of 2006. The court said the correct amount was no more than $2. Knowles' luck wasn't entirely, I guess, awful at the Victory Land Casino. She won $2,500 in the same machine that night. But if you thought you won 41.8, oh, that's an awful feeling. You knew she wasn't going to get that, right? So we move from news you could have used, and let's fill you in on a couple more days in history. Here are some things that happened in 1960. 1963, Jack Ruby shot and mortally wounded Lee Harvey Oswald. Who can forget that? The accused assassin of President John F. Kennedy in a scene captured on live television. I've been to the Book Depository in Dallas a couple of different times. There's conspiracy theorists that sell all kinds of pamphlets and stuff outside and are screaming things. And inside the museum, they have all kinds of interesting footage of what happened. And you can look out the window and see the grassy knoll, and it is kind of a weird feeling. In 1969, Apollo 12 splashed down safely in the Pacific. In 71, hijacker D.B. Cooper parachuted from a Northwest Orient Airlines 727 over Washington State with $200,000 in ransom, his fate still unknown. Think he's alive? Donovan, do you think he's alive, or do you think he died, or he's dead now, or he didn't, whatever, he had a bad landing when he touched the ground? What do you think?
I personally think he's probably dead by this point, but I like to think he managed to get away with the money. It's the romantic in me.
I think so, too. I think he did. They did a movie about that. Treat Williams played him in a movie, and it was some cheesy TV movie, but I was so fascinated by it, I actually watched it. And I feel the same way as you. I want to think that he got out and then just, however, he died eventually, but that he got away with it. I think it was so cool. All right, this wasn't cool. About a year ago, Muslim charity, the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, and five of its former leaders were convicted by a federal jury in Dallas of funneling millions of dollars to the Palestine militant group Hamas. And I think I've talked about this before. I was doing a sports show, and the Holy Land Foundation was trying to raise money, and they invited me and other sports talk show hosts and other people to come out and participate in events to raise money. I always felt a little weird about it. I didn't certainly know that they were doing that, but it seemed a little off, so my producer and I didn't participate, and then I was shocked when the lid was blown off of that. All right, we have birthdays. Maestro, can you cue up that birthday music this time around? All right, celebrating a birthday, country crooner Johnny Carver is 69. Paul Tagliabue, I mentioned him before, the former NFL commish, 69 years old. Rock drummer Pete Best is 68. Billy Connolly, I think he's very funny. He's been on a lot of different shows. The actor-comedian is 67 years old. Former White House News Secretary Marlon Fitzwater is 67. Singer Lee Michaels is 64 years old. Actor Ruben Santiago Hudson is 53. Actress Denise Crosby is 52. Rock musician John Squire from the Stone Roses is 47. From Big Audio, Gary Stonage is 47. Rock musician Chad Taylor from Live is 39. Olympic bronze medal figure skater Chin Liu is 33 years old. Actor Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, who has been in some interesting movies, even did an appearance on Mad Men for a while as a priest, 32 years old. Actress Katherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy is 31. From Modern Family, actress Sarah Hyland is 19 years old. We always like to say this, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you. Not a bad day for a birthday, right in front of Thanksgiving. Still far enough away from Christmas and all the other holidays. So it's a special day. Cool weather in the air in most places, right? November, I think it's a fine time for a birthday. And like I always like to say, for celebrating one, it's another day above ground. So we leave you on that note. And this one from an American writer who said, nobody has ever measured, even poets, how much a heart can hold. Well said.